Let's get things underway this afternoon by talking some Boston Bruins hockey. And to do that, we turn to Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, enjoying kind of a blustery spring day today, but also enjoying a nice win by the Bruins last night, a good victory over Montreal.
Yeah, they don't really ask how it gets done as long as it gets done, right? That was an example of that, I think, where, you know, they put almost 50 shots on goal. Jake Allen played phenomenal for Montreal. Really just a bad Montreal team, so you'd like to avoid those games getting to overtime, but ultimately they get the 2 points there. A great game for Brad Marchand. I think an underrated game for a few players who are maybe on the hot seat in terms of their minutes and roles with Connor Clifton and Mike Riley. So I think all around you have to like it. And now it's on to the sort of the meat of the schedule here, beginning Thursday night in at home against Tampa. It's a good measuring stick game for the Bruins, most definitely.
Well, everybody tries to improve at the break. Not everybody's able to do that. The Bruins may not have gotten everything they want, but some nice additions. Let's start with the defense. And what does Lindholm do for this Bruins defense?
Really what he does is he allows him to have a defenseman who you can throw out there for 22 minutes a night and not worry about who he's going up against. This is a guy who has been a top four defenseman from the moment he joined the NHL back in 2013. A dependable game, not an overly physical game despite the 6'4" frame. He's more smarts and stick and puck retrieval than he is, you know, brute force and physicality. He can throw a hit, he can block a shot, but it's going to be more smarts and denying pressure offensively from the opposition. So I think what you like about him is that he no longer makes you look at your defense and go, okay, we're playing a heavier team, so we gotta put Grizzlick with Carlo, and we gotta put Riley or Forbort with McAvoy. Like, you worry less about the matchups with a guy like him because you just know that you can trust him to go out there and do his job, right? And I think the left side has needed more of those guys for really since they moved on from Chara and Krug. You know, you need more stability back there, more confidence that the guy you're throwing out there can handle the minutes and handle the role. So I think with Lindholm, that's what you're getting above all else.
When they made quite a commitment to him, too, an 8-year contract for $52
million. Yeah, that was part of the process, is that they wouldn't have given up all they gave up, which was a first-round pick, 2 seconds, Jaro Vaakanainen and John Moore, if they didn't have the agreement in place, right, the principal time agreement in place of an extension, the framework, right? And this is something that I think is important to note with the Bruins because, you know, when they trade first-round picks and when they trade a lot of trade capital for an in-season upgrade, they rarely do it for a pure rental, right? Like Rick Nash was an example of a pure rental, right? But they wanted to re-sign him. There was an agreement in place there between those sides that he was probably going to have a contract to come back the following season. However, his concussion problems made it so that wasn't the case, and he retired. So they never really buy big unless they have confidence that they're going to keep the guy. And Lindholm was really only available because he wasn't going to re-sign in Anaheim. So ultimately, they didn't waste any time with a wait-and-see approach. And given the way that they've needed this upgrade, this positional upgrade at lefty, you can't blame them, really.
What do they expect they'll get out of Josh Brown they acquired from the Senators?
So Josh Brown is really going to be sort of your ace defenseman. That was a need as well. I think when you look at their overall depth there, and then you take out Moore and Vaakanainen, you needed somebody. And Josh Brown, 6'5", right shot, plays with some snarl, will drop the gloves. Basically like Jared Tenorti last year, I think that's probably the best comp for it. And in the process, you know, you move back 2 rounds in the draft, you go from a 5th to a 7th, and you get rid of Zach Senyshyn. But overall, I think you look at the way this team plays, the way the playoffs are played, you know, they've lost multiple defensemen over and over and over again. So I think to have a bit more stability back there in terms of bodies, knowing that you're not going to have to go right into Providence's second pair, right, if you have 2 injuries, I think goes a long way for this team.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. The most curious move at the deadline was the 2-year extension for Jake DeBrusk. Does that just make it easier to flip him somewhere down the road?
Yeah, I think that's ultimately the plan. I mean, the Bruins are open to the idea of Jake DeBrusk saying, hey, no, I actually like it here. I don't want to stay. But I feel like they understand that's probably not going to happen. I think really when you look at this move, it's it is to increase the market, right? The market was a depressed market. It wasn't a very intriguing one for the Bruins or for DeBrusk, for that matter. The offers that they got were not up to what they viewed as the decent return for a guy that they believe in still at the end of the day. Do they think he's a 30-goal scorer still? Probably not, but they still believe that he's an NHL player and that he's a capable one at that. So you don't want to give that away just because. And I think really, you know, that was their thinking from the start, but it became firm once they moved him to the top line and he's producing with Bergeron and Marchand. It was like, okay, well, we can't give him away now because he's too valuable. So I think for the Bruins, I think they're more willing to, you know, let's just say lose the trade in the summer when they're not in the middle of a playoff race and surging and relying on him for big opportunities. So I think that was really the biggest thing at the end of the day, was just they didn't want to lose this trade now versus maybe, say, June when there's not as much pressure on the team. You know, they're not in the middle of a playoff race.
So what didn't they get, and how much better are they? Were they able to leapfrog anybody in the East with the acquisitions they made?
Well, you know, I think it's important to note that they were never going to bridge the gap between themselves and Florida and Carolina and Tampa. So I have a hard time crushing them for what they didn't get. I think you would have liked to have seen a natural right shot, right wing to replace DeBrusk right on that top line if you could have done it. Now, the problem with that is only one of those guys really moved, and that was Ricard Raquel. And they were in on him until the very last moment, until the Penguins came in with a better offer than both Boston and Vegas. So that makes things challenging, right? At the end of the day, you can only do what you can do. And, you know, if a guy uses a no-movement clause like Claude Giroux did to not go to Boston but to go to Florida instead, you know, you kind of just you tip your hat and you say, all right, thanks for trying. So they could have used more depth. They could have used a more solidified answer at second-line center. But those guys are never available, right? Giroux never didn't want to come here. Hurdle was never made available. JT Miller never made available. So, you know, they did try to make moves, but ultimately those are the biggest concerns that you're going to have, that second-line center spot, that top-line right wing. So really what you're going to need is, I think, in both instances, you're going to need sort of the production to come on the aggregate. You're going to need the your centers you have between Bergeron, Holla, Coyle, and Nosek, and maybe Stadnica as well, to lift you up. And you're going to need your right wings, namely Pastrnak and Smith, to shoulder the load for you. So I think those are the big concerns, but ultimately they didn't want to sell the entire farm for a guy that they didn't think would maybe move the needle as much as they need to leapfrog some of those teams we just talked about.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub, talking Bruins with us. Always great, Ty. Appreciate you squeezing us in here on a Tuesday afternoon, and we will catch up with you again before too long.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Thank you, sir. Ty Anderson on the Bruins right here on Downtown.